Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response of the day for the 14th of Cheshvan. Today we're going to discuss Reven Tzion Meir Chai Uziel's explanations of issues having to do with one shomer entrusts an item to another shomer. Meaning, in halacha, let's suppose I have something that I need watching, I want you to take care of it for me. So, or you ask me for the right to take care. Remember that there are four kinds of shomer in halacha. There's a shomer where I ask you, I either pay you or ask you as a favor. And then there's the reverse, where you want it from me. Either you rent it from me or you borrow it from me without any payment, right? Those are the ways in which you can do it. Part of what's interesting about this tshuva is that it's written on the 14th of Cheshvan of Tav Resh Tzadi Gimel. 14th Cheshvan Tav Resh Tzadi Gimel would have been in the fall of 1932, and he's responding to a man he refers to as a Rav Gaon with all sorts of other titles, Eliezer Waldenberg. Eliezer Waldenberg we know better as the Tzitz Eliezer, who, according to the Bar Ilan, was born in 1916. I actually saw something online that said he was born in 1917, but he's basically 15 or 16 years old, and he already has a relationship with Rav Uziel around issues of Torah, and he sent Rav Uziel an idea of his. We don't see that idea fully in this tshuva. We'll see pieces of it, but it's mostly Rav Uziel's long response to that discussion. So he calls him a Rav Nichabad V'yakar, right? Honored and dear to me. He says, I got your letter from the 26th of Tishrei with your Chidushei Torah. And then he says, so the 26th of Tishrei, and this is the 14th of Cheshvan, it's like more than 2 weeks earlier, and he hasn't responded, so he's apologizing a little bit for the delay, and he says, V'ulam bioti tarud ba'avodati, I had work, right? Rav Uziel is the chief rabbi of, at this point, I think, of Tel Aviv, but he had work, and then he says, V'limudai hakivuim, and I have my general learning. So it's Rav Uziel at this point is in his early 50s, right? He's born in 1880, and this is 32, so he's a 52-year-old man. He's certainly a great Torah scholar already, but he has regular starim of learning, regular learning that he does, and he can't interrupt that even for the very impressive young Tzitz Eliezer, young Rav Waldenberg. So he couldn't really look at it very carefully, but now he did. So Rav Waldenberg apparently had cited a Shita Mekubetzet, which had asked a question on Rashi, that Rashi had said that when, so there's a machloka in the Gemara above Metzia, Daf Lamed Vav, about what happens with a Shomer Shemasar L'Shomer. Rav says, Shomer Shemasar L'Shomer Patur. So the case would be something like, I say to you, can you watch my car for me as a favor? And I go away. And then you, something comes up for you, and you say, I'll ask that guy. So you go to that guy and say, can you watch this car for me? And something happens to the car. So Rav says, he's patur. The second shomer is patur, or the first shomer is patur. For me, kol mayasha patur im shamrahu atzmo. That anything that he would have done, meaning, so in the case of a shomer chinam, a person who's just asked as a favor to watch something, he's patur from everything other than pshia, other than neglect, other than him failing to do a reasonable job of watching it in various ways, which is a discussion of its own that we can't get into. But the point would be, whatever the standards are, so let's say I paid you to watch the car. So I pay you $20 to watch the car, and that comes with the expectation that you will watch it even from theft, but you can't be expected to watch it to protect it from onus, from things out of your control. So you go and you get a guy and you pay him also, let's say you pay him $15 because, you know, you got to make a living, and he watches it for you. So Rav seems to say that as long as whatever happened is something that the first shomer would have been patur, the first shomer would not have had to pay for whatever it was, then in this case also there won't be any requirement to pay. The problem with that understanding in Rashi is that there's another Gemara above Metzia, which seems to be above Kama, the Thun Zion, which says, Vishomer Kama Iftar Le the Gamre. The first Shomer just is scot free, and it sounds like he's not. So to explain that, so Rav Waldenberg had apparently suggested that maybe Rashi held that the Torah makes the first Shomer, the first person watching the item, a sort of owner. And then as long as that ownership continues, that shomer is considered the owner and therefore will step in certain situations and be liable or required to be involved in situations. And then he had built from there to explain a Rashi and a Rambam and whatever. We don't have that in front of us right now, so we're not going to be talking about that. We're going to talk about the way the Rav Uziel is going to read it. Rav Uziel says he doesn't accept the Tizilius' idea. He thinks that when Rashi says that the Shomer is going to be Patur, that's because Rashi is explaining that according to Rav, that it's any Shomer who's at an equal level to his level of watching or a higher level. And that's because the words are Shem Masro Levendat, because he gave it over to a competent adult. And that reasoning is appropriate as long as the person to whom it's being given is somebody who has the obligation to watch it at the same level as this person himself had to watch it. Meaning that Rashi understood Rav to be saying that as long as the legal obligation to watch the item is equal to or better the original one, then the original owner cannot complain. If the original owner gave it to me with an obligation to watch it at X level, at Shomer Chinam level, right? Then if I gave it to somebody else at Shomer Chinam or even better at Shomer Sachar level, the owner can't complain. If I reduce the level of obligation in watching, so then what can happen is the owner of the item can say, I didn't want to give it over. I didn't want to trust somebody, even a competent adult, at that level. Meaning, if I ask you to watch something for me, or I pay you to watch something for me, it's clear to everybody that when I pay you to watch it for me, I am expecting a higher level of care on your part to make sure that nothing happens to it. So, if you pay me to watch something for me, and I give it over to a reasonable adult, but I don't pay him anything, there, Rav Uziel says, it's clear to everybody, the owner can say, but that's not what I was looking for, I looked for this. And the fact that he or she was a competent adult doesn't count. And therefore, so that's why, Rav Uziel says, the reasoning behind Shomer Shalasa, the Shomer is Patur, that a person who gives it to a Shomer is not liable if something happens to it, that's, meaning why we have to talk about that even, because if the second person is a Ben Dad, the second person is a reasonable competent adult, of course that should be true. So the case arises, says Rav Uziel. Also, not only is it, of course, it's true, but let's suppose I'm a Shomer Sachar and the second Shomer is a Shomer Sachar, we're being paid for it, we're the same level, or the second Shomer is even a higher level, then if we're talking about something happens to it where the second Shomer, or the second person watching it is not liable for the damages, neither should the first one be, because even if it was still with the first one, he wouldn't have been liable. So it can't be talking about a case where the thing that happened is something that I did because I didn't do anything wrong by giving it over to them, this opinion holds, because I gave it to a competent adult who's obligated to watch it at the same level. That's A. And then B, the thing that happened to it was something that we would both be patur from. So therefore, says Rav Uziel, no, it must be talking about a case where the second Shomer didn't watch it or didn't watch it properly. And what the Rav's opinion was that the Shomer Rishon, the first Shomer, is not going to be liable to pay for that to the owners. The owners will have to go to the second Shomer, the second person watching it, and sue him or extract the payment from him. Meaning nobody's doubting that the owner of the original item deserves to get money back if his item was damaged or destroyed by virtue of the fact that whoever was watching it didn't watch it the way they were supposed to be. The question is, to whom is his recourse? And in some cases, we would imagine the recourse would be to the original Shomer to whom he gave it, the original watcher to whom he gave it, because that's the person to whom he said, I want you to watch this for me. But so what Rav is saying is, no, that in the case where the person who gave it over ensured that halakhically, legally, the second person has to watch it at least as well as the first person, that will then mean that the owner, if something happens to it, because the second watcher didn't do it the right way, it'll be the owner who will have to go and have the court case with that second watcher. But if, in hiring that second person, the original person did something wrong, in that the original person lowered the obligatory level of watching, so that already will be not the responsibility of the owner to go take care of it, then already he can turn to the first guy and says, no, you're the one who damaged me by virtue of giving it over to somebody with less of a responsibility to watch it, and I never wanted that. And once you read it that way, then you know the other opinion. The other opinion of the Gemara was that of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan held that a Shomer, Shemasah the Shomer, if one person gives it over to another one, he's the first one is Chayav, even if he got a better watching. Meaning, let's suppose I'm watching an item for you for free. So I'm only liable if something goes wrong because I was negligent. So let's suppose that you come, that somebody else comes along and wants to borrow that item. So if they borrow that item, they're going to be liable for anything that happens to it, even if it was really out of their power and ability to take care of it, to prevent what happened, right? A shoel is liable even for ones. A shoel is liable even for things out of their control. That's part of she'elah, that you take this extra level of responsibility. So if I'm a shomer chinam, I would have only been liable for things where I was negligent, and then you come along and you want to borrow it, and you've got higher levels. You might have thought, well, I didn't do anything wrong. I made even better care for it. Rav Yochanan still holds that I, the first person, the Shomer Chinam, is going to be liable to pay, and that's because I didn't have the right to give it out. Why not? Because the owner can say, I didn't want my items with somebody else. I trusted you. I didn't trust that other person. And therefore, Rav Uziel says, what's going to happen is that the Shomer Chinam will have to pay for the item and then go to the second Shomer and get the money. So it's clear that if the reason the item got destroyed was because the second person didn't watch it well enough, that that's the person who really has to pay. The question is, do the owners have to be the ones to go and collect it from that person, or can they demand that the first Shomer be the one to pay them off, and then they'll take care of collecting? And that's what Rav Yochanan is saying, that the first Shomer just has to compensate the owners, because they can say, I didn't want my object in somebody else's hands. And that's the way the Rambam paskens it as well. And the Rambam says it explicitly that way, Rav Uziel points out. Hare hanizak omer lo, the person who is damaged can say, lama lo shamarta batzmecha, why didn't you watch this yourself? Shalem liata, you pay me and you go have a court case with that guy. Meaning that second person sometimes is not so easy to get the money out of. So who's on the hook for having to go through the rigmarole and the process of getting the money out of them? That there, the answer is, it's going to be the first Shomer, because according to Rav Yochanan, which is how the Rambam is prosecuting it, he didn't have the right to do it, and therefore he's got to bear the brunt of finding a way to get that money back. Mashma midvarav, the Rambam makes it sound like that if the first Shomer, the first person taking care of the item, Dimasro Livno, had given it to his son. So the reason why sons are different, we're going to see, is because there is an assumption that people expect you to leave things with adult family members, like adult children who are competent and capable. So then in those situations, if we can assume that the original owner had expected something like this, then the second person comes fully in the place of the first person, and then the owner can't say to the first watcher, no, it's your problem to go and have the court case with that second person. They can go in they can be expected to go in themselves, because that's sort of part of the original agreement. And then it was just a remarkable thing. He says, the Ravid, which is reported also in the Torah and the Beis Yosef, in Choshen Mishpat and Shin Tzarivav, the Ravid held that if the owners want to go to that second person, they say, you know what, it's fine. Really, we should be able to get the money from you, but we're happy to go to that second person and get it from them. They can do that as well. They can do either way. And Waziel says, I don't understand where he got a source to say this, because he says, Shahasvara mitnagedet la behechlet. So Rav Uziel is perfectly comfortable saying that it doesn't make sense to him, because he says, if we're going to give the right to the owner to demand payment from the first Shomer, because he's claiming that the second Shomer, the second person watching, is really the obligation of the first Shomer, the first Shomer didn't really have the right to offload response to the second person, then the second person should sort of be able to say to the owner, you're not my guy. So how can the owner have the right, says Rav Uziel, to go both ways and to say, no, I'm the second person should be able to say, you're not my litigant, you're not the person who is standing to judge the case with me? I mentioned that at such length because it's fascinating to me to watch Rav Uziel be willing to say, the Ravid says something and it doesn't make any sense to me. We generally assume that Achronim, later authorities, don't argue with Rishonim, with earlier authorities, and here's Rav Uziel saying, Ravid doesn't make any sense. And then he comes back to the Rambam, who he thinks makes more sense. Ha'ikar bidat, the Rambam is like I wrote, that a Shomer who gave it to a Shomer is mitchayev b'misirato. His understanding was that the Rambam held that when one Shomer gives it to another Shomer, that act itself is what makes the first Shomer liable to the owner, even if the second person is going to do a better job, even if the second person is being paid, right? The first person is not being paid, the second person is being paid. The first person being paid or not being paid, and the second person is a borrower. Whatever it is, nonetheless, the owner comes back only to that first shomer. That's what the Rambam understands it, and that's what Uziel thinks makes more sense, because the point is that the moment of that first watch person transferring it to somebody else was where he did something wrong. And once he does that thing wrong, that's with whom the owner has the beef and the right to object. After that, if the first watch person can get money from the second watch person who's liable for it, then he can do that. But that's between them, not between the first owner, has no connection to that second watch person. The second watch person only has a halakhic legal and obligation and relationship with the first watch person. That explains the Rambam in Hilchot Schirut in the first chapter, where the Rambam says, "Afshe sha'alu saschar bivalim, harei hotzid hadavar hashamur miyadoliat shomer acher." Even if the original shomer was what's called shmirah bivalim. Shmirah bivalim is a very interesting halacha in the Torah, and it takes a long time to explain it, which we won't do here. But to explain why it should be this way. But the technical rule is: let's suppose I watch an item for you, but at the moment that I start watching the item for you, you are already in some way lent out to me. You already belong to me in some way. So if that were true, the halacha is that I'm then putter for whatever happens to the item, even if I borrowed the item. So ordinarily, I'd be responsible for everything that happens to the item. Since it's called what's called shmirah biba'alim, I'm not responsible for what happens to the item. Nonetheless, the Rambam says in Hilchot Schirut that if I gave that item to somebody else, I was motzi adavar hashamur miyado, something that is I'm watching to somebody else, then I will be. Uva kesev mishnah sham, the mishnah sham explains it, that it's because he says he gave it to somebody else, the mishnah says it's like a mazik biyadayim, it's like I'm damaging it by that very act, I'm destroying it with that very act. The Uziel says it's a very strange thing to say. Rav Tumim doesn't explain why, he just says it's very strange. And he tells us to go look at the Mishnah Melech, as Mishnah Melech had said. And what he's already explained, he thinks, makes sense then. There's nothing to be surprised, because the Rambam is saying that the second Shomer doesn't count in terms of the original owner. It's like he doesn't exist almost. And therefore, when the first shomer gives it to the second person, it might not be like mazik biyadayim, but it's like he's being negligent about it. And we usually say that pshia biba'alim doesn't free me of obligation. That even though I borrowed it or took it from you, when you yourself, the owner of the item, was in some way lent to me, that would free me from almost obligations for the item, but it doesn't apparently free me from Shia, and therefore by giving it over, I am being negligent about it. And that would be the reason why the first watch person would be obligated to pay. Fact, because the idea of Shmira Babalim doesn't free him of the obligation of Shia Babalim. I would just say that it could be the case of Mishnah when he says Mazik Biyadayim, it's like he's destroying it himself. It could be that's what he meant, because there are those who hold that the problem with pshia, with negligence, is that it's like Hezek, but that's a whole discussion of its own. In any case, that's why also he says the Rambam could hold, as the Rambam does hold, that this explains the Rambam's holding later on in that same chapter, that if the second shomer, the second watch person, brought a proof that he watched it in a way that if the first shomer had been watching it that way, in the way that the first person watching it would also not have been liable to pay, then the first person really isn't liable to pay. And the Mishnah Melech didn't understand it. Because what do you need a proof for? Since the Baalim, in this particular instance, trust that second person. Let's suppose I gave it to the owner gave it to the first watch person. The first watch person gave it to a second watch person, but a second watch person whom the owner frequently also uses as a watch person. So then you would imagine to yourself that the first watch person could say, you can't tell me that you don't like having items watched by this second person, because after all, you use him yourself sometimes, or her, yourself sometimes. So how could you complain to me about it? Nonetheless, the Rambam seems to require that second watch person would bring proof that he or she watched it appropriately and watched it in a way that the first watch person would have been patur, would have been free from obligation for. Without explanation, the Mishnah Melech doesn't understand that. So the Rav Uziel says that Rav Waldenberg, he thought that the answer is that the second person is like, he's not a shomer at all. He doesn't qualify as a watch person in terms of the owner, because the owner never entrusted him with the item, and therefore there is no possibility of that second watch person taking an oath about the issue. So for example, let's suppose I'm watching it for free, and then I give it over to a second person who's known to the owner, and I pay that second person to wash a little bit. But then armed robbers come and take it from him by force. So that's, you know, I would have been patur if that had happened to me. So this person wants to, the second watch person wants to take a shivuat hashom. He says, I'll swear to it. So the halacha is that the owner can deny, can reject that oath. And the question is, why can he reject that oath? Since, after all, this is a person who on other occasions he's trusted, why can he reject that oath and say, I don't believe it, and the first person has to pay me for it? So Tzitzeliezer had apparently, the young Tzitzeliezer had suggested that it's because that second person doesn't have the status of a shomer, doesn't have the status of a watch person in terms of the original owner, and therefore the second one can't make any of that oath. And he says it, although he said only about where he made it at a lower level, not at a higher level. But in any case, the Rav Uziel says, I like your idea, but not your reasoning. So to my mind, he says, the point is that if a shomer gives it to another shomer without the agreement of the owner, even if he added, oh, that's why I was thinking of it this way, even if he added and made it a better shmirah, he's not niftar in terms of the owner, because the owner never agreed to it, and that was part of his responsibility, with only two conditions that can make it different. One condition is that he gives it to a person who the owner also generally does, and also that it should be with the same tenaim, with the same level of watching. But without those two issues, then the shomer rishon is still on the hook for the owner. That's where you get into a problem. So if there's proof, some kind of physical proof, that nothing happened to it that would have been a liability for the first watch person, that's going to free him from the obligation to pay. But other than that, nah. The Chamishna there wonders about the fact that doesn't this qualify as what's called tchilato b'pshia misofo b'onus. Let's say the first watch person gives it to a second watch person who is either not somebody the owner trusts or at a lower level. So even if what ends up happening is to the item that destroys it is something that the first watch person would in fact have been patur from, would in fact not have had to pay back, but in halacha, we have this idea that if somebody starts off with negligence, even if it ends up being out of anybody's control, the person with negligence still has to pay. So the Ezra suggested that since we have a proof that it was ones at the end, once you have a proof, then it turns out not to have been a pshia, and the Rav Uziel says, ve'ein terut zem must speak, meaning he's comfortable saying, well, that's nice, but it's not good enough. But so he suggests instead that it's not a question to begin with, because that whole halachic category is only a liability for the original person when the onus was a function of the pshia. But if the onus is completely, meaning a function of the pshia is, let's say, I leave a cow where it's not supposed to be left, I leave it out in the open, and then where I'm supposed to have it in the barn, but then it dies of something that has nothing to do with being left out in the open, then it dies be'ones, but an ones that's sort of a function of being out of the open, that's when you have to get out the pshia of a self of ones. But if it would have died either place, the Rav Uziel says that's not to get out the pshia of a self of ones. So that fundamentally, Rav Uziel says, he thinks the obligation of the shomer in what happens to the item that's being watched is because that's what you accept upon yourself when you agree to be a shomer. And that's the way he understands the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. And you get it from a Mishnah, whatever, but that if you give it to a shomer chinam, they all come, the way the Mishnah says it is, kulam nichnesu tachara ba'alim. If one gives it to another, gives it to another, gives it to another, they all become not like ba'alim, like the owners, but their obligation is to watch it as if they were owners, because that's what a shomer does. A shomer accepts upon himself the responsibility to protect it from damage in the way that the owner would have been able to protect it from damage. And he thinks that contradicts another Ivan, who says that it's not clear that the person accepts upon themselves. So he's got difficulties with the Ravid's positions on these issues. And that idea of he accepted upon himself is important because Rav Waldenberg had suggested maybe the idea is that he becomes like an owner when he agrees to be a shomer. And Rav Uziel is saying that's not the issue at all. The issue is just that there was an assumption of responsibility, but not assumption of any sort of a title in any way. And what might have seemed the counterproof that Rav Uziel raises is that the Rambam in Nizkei Mammon says, let's suppose that an ox or another kind of animal, but let's say an ox, is the owner of an ox gives that ox to somebody else to watch it. And the person watching it doesn't do enough of a good job to prevent the ox from goring or damaging another animal. So the halacha in when one ox kills another ox, the halacha is if the first ox was what's called a tam, that he had never done this before, hadn't done this frequently enough before, that it creates a heightened obligation to watch the ox. So the exact definition of why it's a tam or not is a machloka in the Gemara, discussion of the Gemara, discussion of the Rishonim, so I'm not going to get into that, but it's something about there's a point at which the owner has to expect that this ox is an ox that tends to gore, and there are points at which the owner is not required to expect that. Or the Torah just gave him a grace period in which to figure it out. But a tam, that kind of an ox, only pays half nezek. And that half nezek is only from the ox itself, meaning if a relatively cheap ox gores a very expensive ox, and the dead ox isn't worth it, you know, has lost a lot of value, the chatzi nezek can't be more than the value of the ox that did it. But if the ox is a mu'ad, so a mu'ad is an ox which has done this enough times that the owners have a heightened obligation of watching, a heightened responsibility to make sure it doesn't happen again, then it's called what's called mishtalem min ha'aliyah. You pay it from whatever money, you have to use whatever money you have to pay for it. It has nothing to do with the value of the ox or not the value of the ox. So the Rambam then discusses what happens if the shomer doesn't have the money to pay and goes on. And Rav Uziel says, but I understand, if the shomer is obligated because he accepted upon himself the obligation to watch it, then why couldn't the nizak, the damaged person, go to the Baal HaShor, go to the owner to get more money, right? So according to Rav Uziel, who says that, I'm sorry, according to the Tzeliezer, who was suggesting that the shomer becomes like an owner, the answer is right there. That's what Rav Uziel is now saying, that's not the right answer. But the answer would be, he could say that for the damaged person, the owner is this shomer, is this watch person. This shomer has no more money, and therefore it's all over. For Rav Uziel, who's saying it's a question of accepting responsibility, that shouldn't make sense, and then he should be able to go back to the original owner. So he says, no, the answer is that the owners, even though it's true that they have an obligation to watch their animals, doesn't mean that it's always resting upon their person. As long as the owner has given over that responsibility of watching the animal to somebody who is competent and an acceptable adult, and then it transfers completely. So there's a little bit of semantics here because the Tzedezer was reading that as meaning the owner, the watch person, becomes the owner for these purposes. And the Rav Uziel is saying, no, he's not the owner. He's just becomes like the owner. He just accepts that responsibility. So you're parsing it very carefully. But basically what we're saying, though, is what they're all agreeing about is that the watch person then becomes the one completely responsible for any damages that this animal causes, and if he doesn't have the money for it, then that's unfortunate for the person who was damaged, but it does not leave the owner, the original owner, the actual owner, in any kind of responsibility to pay for it. But as we said before, if the original owner, if the first watch person gave it over a second watch person, whom the original owner doesn't know, and therefore doesn't have to deal with, and we said before that even if that second person is watching at a higher level, the original owner could say, it doesn't matter, I'll collect from you, you go collect from him. The Rav Uziel says that would be true of a Nizak as well. Now with an Nizak, that's even more interesting, because with the Nizak is a complete stranger. So why would the Nizak have any right to care who is what? So Rav Uziel says, no, since the watch person has undertaken the responsibility to watch this animal, he's the person or she's the person on the hook for damages caused by this animal. That being true, then if you give it over to a competent adult for the second to watch it, and that person fails in whatever way, for whatever reason, that's not the Nizak's problem. When the Nizak find their items damaged, they say, who do I go to for this? And the answer is you go to the person who's accepted the responsibility, and that is the first watch person. So these are some of the issues that Rav Uziel raised in response to a letter he got from the young Tzitz Eliezer, laying out some of his own chiddushei Torah, some of his own ideas about how to understand this issue, about a shomer, shemasa the shomer, about what happens to responsibilities for items when I undertake, when one person undertakes a responsibility and then tries to give it to somebody else as their responsibility, when that works, when that responsibility is in fact transferred, when it doesn't, and what the status of that first watch person is. Some of the monetary ideas that came up in a tshuva from the 14th of Cheshvan by Rav Ben Tzion Meir Chai Uziel. Have a great day.